The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so the Nathan Peterman era is over in the Buffalo area and in the NFL. He has been cut and released by the Bills. Unlikely to be picked up by anybody in the National Football League, albeit if a choice between him and Colin Kaepernick came up, I'm sure Peterman will get another job immediately. But nevertheless, if you're Nathan Peterman, I've got some career advice for you. Take what you did in the National Football League and turn it into marketing gold. He should be in every single commercial, like Want to Get Away, like, or maybe the Snickers commercial. Like, oh, you get like Nathan Peterman when you're hungry. Like anything along the lines where he can play up his inability to play in the National Football League, any sort of advertisement. He should be Madison Avenue's golden boy. I think there are plenty of companies that would love to exploit the interception nature of Nathan Peterman's career. One touchdown and seven picks in four games. Like, can you imagine, like, the way you could, I mean, actors have done this all the time. Rock stars have done a little poke fun at themselves. That's where you can make some serious money. Think about the advertising. Think about Geico, for example. They would love to, you know, so easy even Nathan Peterman can do it, right? I mean, anything along the lines where you can exploit your inability to play in the NFL. I think you should be all over this. Madison Avenue should be swimming in money for Nathan Peterman. What else is he going to do? Really sell real estate? What is Nathan Peterman going to do for a living? Right? Coach? Oh, come on. He should just be Nathan Peterman. That should be his new job.
CFL? I don't even think he'd get a shot in the CFL. You know what? If China goes ahead with their football league, maybe China.
What about this new American Alliance football thing that I've been reading about?
Maybe.
Maybe a job there.
XFL part two?
Maybe so. I think he should give speaking tours. Go around, be like, okay, how I cashed six-figure checks every week throwing interceptions in the National Football League. Write a book.
And you can do it, too.
You can do it, too. Madison Avenue, get all over it. Nathan Peterman's available. Available for commercials right now. You can exploit him. Lord knows the Bills did.
Every day can't be hat day.
Take off your hat.
Stop worrying about your hairline today by visiting forhims.com/cheer. That's forhims.com/cheer. Now, back to SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Blue Emu Lidocaine Cream and Maximum Arthritis Cream, both deep penetrating and odor free, beat the pain two ways and live life. Blue Emu, it works fast so you won't stink. Available at nationwide retailers. SB Nation Radio rolling along on a Tuesday. It's not just any Tuesday. Do you know what kind of Tuesday this is, Ron? This is Le'Veon Bell Tuesday.
Uh-oh.
Will he report or will he not report? There's already people stating that he's not going to check into the Steelers. This is the last day he has to accept his franchise tag offer and collect at least $6 million bucks prorated for the rest of the season.
I wonder what the mood in Pittsburgh is like right now.
Oh, is he going to come back or not? I don't know. I don't know how the numbers add up. I don't know how the numbers add up that Le'Veon Bell losing $14.5 million this year and somehow he's doing exactly what he what's good for him. I don't know how I just don't know how in an NFL career that is really short, right? Especially at the running back position where your chance to make a lot of money is very, very narrow. How a whole season of football is going to get played in which all you had to do was show up in August and you would have gotten $14.5 million for the season, right? A slightly less than $1 million per paycheck for 16 games and how somehow you're going to make out better on the other end. I don't know how the numbers add up. I mean, granted, the guaranteed money and all that, but still, you're going to get that anyway when the Steelers were not going to franchise you again, then go get become a free agent. I know you're risking injury, but the reality of it is he's losing $14.5 million. If you're his agent and you collect a portion of that, how do you justify this? I mean, his agent's like, oh, wouldn't it be great if you signed that franchise tag offer sometime soon? So I don't know. I don't know if he's going to show up or not. It doesn't look like he's going to.
At this point, I hope he doesn't.
Yeah, and the Steelers can franchise him again.
Because I just think if he was to show up now, that's going to disrupt whatever rhythm the Steelers have.
I hope. I'm with you, man. I like what they're doing right now.
And
I really do, and
coming off that beat down on a good Panthers team, on a team that we all kind of figured, hey, you know what, this is a playoff team. And, I mean, they still are. They just didn't show up in Pittsburgh at all. And there's just so much rhythm and continuity going on with the Steelers right now. I was like, God, if you just bring him in, it's going to derail that somehow, some way.
Yeah, I hope not. I mean, if they do bring him in, I hope they find. Well, I don't know. I mean,
because I mean, if they bring him in, will Le'Veon feel comfortable just sitting on the bench, being second string? You know, obviously he has the mindset knowing that, you know what, I'm going to need a game or two, a week or two to get back into football shape. But at the same time, Connor's probably still just going to keep rolling.
Yeah, my hope is if he does come back that he'll take a game or two to get back in shape, and then he'll be so fresh that he will be a very important part of the offense, even more than James Connor, right? I mean, he's going to have fresh legs, but I don't know. I'm with you. That makes me very nervous because I didn't like the way the Steelers publicly were talking about him, and I want to know if that's really good. Don't give me the bravado. Tell me what's really going on in that locker room, if they really respect him enough to make this work. I mean, they all say the right things. They always do. Everybody does in these situations. But, I mean, let me make a comparison here. And I know it's a little bit of apples and oranges, but they're both fruit, okay? Dez Bryant played with the Saints for what? 10 seconds in practice before he hurt his leg, and the Saints players were throwing up the X after scoring touchdowns. And like, there was a unity there for a player that just arrived in New Orleans 5 seconds ago. That's like pretty, like, I got to admire. I mean, I loved that. I thought it was pretty cool. Are we seeing anything for Le'Veon Bell? Like players saying, come on, man, be part of this. Is anybody on social media urging their brother to come back and be part of this team? I'm not seeing
it. I don't think there's been one person excited, like, yeah, he's coming back. Woo-hoo.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing people on the Steelers publicly. Like, again, I mean, look, and don't give me, well, the Steelers as a team probably told. No, these guys, they'd ignore that. They'd go on social media. They would publicly say, Le'Veon, can't wait to bring you back, man. Come on back. It's fun. We're doing some great things. We need you. Come on. I'm not seeing any of that. I follow a lot of Steelers on Twitter. I might be missing one or two. I'm just saying the public love that the Saints showed Dez Bryant, who just joined the team and got hurt immediately, is nothing. I mean, is everything compared to what the Steelers are not doing for Le'Veon Bell. There just doesn't seem to be the kind of the public support that these guys seem to have for him. And that's concerning to me. And it might be nothing. It might be everything. But as a Steelers fan, I watched what the Saints did with Dez Bryant. I went, man, I wish they were doing that for Le'Veon Bell. Maybe show him how much they need him. Like, you know, hey, we're winning. We'd love you to be a part of this. We're really excited. We would love to have you back. But they're not. It doesn't seem like they are anyway. Because I guarantee you if they were, it would be news. I guarantee you wouldn't even have to see it on Twitter. Somebody would write an article about it and say, look at what the Steelers are saying to Le'Veon Bell through these tweets.
Yeah, I just get the feeling it's going to be similar to kind of how what the Rockets are doing with Carmelo right now. Rocket players. Where they're saying things without really, it's more what they're not saying than it is what they're actually saying.
Yeah, exactly.
That you have to pay attention to. And I think I feel the same thing would be the Steelers, where if someone would, you know, if a reporter was to ask him, you know, if was it Ed Bouchette? If he was to ask any of the Steelers and say, you know what, hey, Le'Veon signed, how excited are you? He's like, well, you know, he's a Hall of Fame player, Hall of Fame caliber player. You know, he can definitely get the job done.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we could use him. Yeah, sure. I mean, you could always use him of Le'Veon's caliber.
But you wouldn't hear, like, yeah, I'm so glad he's back. I'm so glad he signed with the team. I don't think you're going to get that out of him.
No, I don't think you're either.
I think they'd like the way the team is right now.
Yeah. I mean, not to harp on what the Saints are doing, but, I mean, those guys really wanted Dez Bryant on that team.
Yes.
And they really, really wished he was there.
They were excited. I mean, two practices in, the amount of love he got, it was insane.
Seriously. I mean, seriously, was that not incredible how much love they were giving Dez Bryant, who joined the team? I mean, granted, listen, they all know each other. They all see each other publicly at NFL functions. And, you know, I'm sure they, you know, talk to each other.
Ran into each other on the field once or twice.
Of course, right? So, you know, Dez Bryant's not a stranger. I get it. Don't get me wrong. But, man, I was impressed. I was moved watching those guys throw the X up for Dez Bryant.
No, it's just, you know what it is? I think it's the culture of the Saints right now.
It's got to be.
It's all for one.
Yeah, it's got to be, right? I mean,
every single person on that team. Yeah.
They love him. He what? When did he sign last week? Tuesday?
So, right? Tuesday or Wednesday?
And then he got hurt on Friday. Like, I mean, literally there for 2 days, and they were already calling him a brother and a teammate, and, they were excited. He's excited. I mean, he's happy. Like, on Twitter, he's showing his emotion by the love that's coming his way. That's great. I mean, I loved it. I mean, I loved it. And you're right. That's the culture of what they're doing, right? That's amazing to me. I wonder if they'll do the same thing for Brandon Marshall.
Probably.
Probably.
I wouldn't be surprised. They'll probably be just excited that he's there and just say, hey, welcome to the family. We're on a Super Bowl train. Welcome aboard.
Get on board. Help us out. Do your job and everything will be better.
Yeah. Don't make noise. Don't make waves. We got a good thing going. Yep. I mean,
That Breeze guy, he'll get you the ball. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I think
he's pretty good at that. He'll get you the ball.
If you and I were to join the team, I think they would welcome us with open arms.
Yeah,
and like,
right?
You don't have a lick of football talent. You're worse than Rudy.
Yeah, that's right. Welcome to the Saints.
I don't even know if you have heart.
Oh, my goodness. So today's the day we'll find out about Le'Veon Bell. If I'm a betting guy and I'm not, I'm leaning towards no. I'm leaning towards no. But you know what? I mean, it's all money. It's business. So maybe cooler heads prevail and they realize there's money on the table here. But right now, if I'm throwing my chips on the table, I'm putting it in the no column. I don't think he shows up at all.
Yeah, I have to imagine the Steelers are probably all sitting there nervous all day. Because they don't want to publicly come out. You know, it's like your buddy who just broke up with his girlfriend. You don't want to say anything bad about the girl.
Right, right.
Just in
exactly.
case, you know, you guys might get back together. Then it's always going to be, you're always going to remember that I called her a witch with a capital B down the road.
Yeah, exactly. Right off the bat, too. Right.
Yeah. You wait until, you know, time has gone by until the ex-girlfriend went psycho. Then you go ahead and unleash. And that, I feel like that's what the position the Steelers are in right now is like, they don't want to say anything negative. They don't want to say anything positive. They're just being quiet and just hoping and praying that the day goes by with no news.
Yeah, exactly. And then when you're when your friend or brother or somebody is dating the really crazy person, and then you go to the wedding and you realize, oh, I have to keep my mouth shut forever. That's when it becomes difficult, right? I mean, so if Le'Veon Bell comes back and then he signs a long-term deal, then you have to be like,
oh,
all right, well, I guess I can't say what I really think about this person for pretty much for the rest of the time he's here. So I'll have to keep my mouth shut. Because that analogy works, that it works just fine, Ron. 800-777-2907 is the telephone number. All right, we're going to continue to talk some NFL. I want to get into some NBA. We're going to talk Carmelo Anthony. Listen, I've got an attachment to Anthony. I've covered him for a long time in Denver. So what I'm seeing in Houston is interesting to me. And we're going to break it down. Joel Blank is going to join us later on in the show. We'll talk to him about what's going on in Houston with the Rockets. Because Carmelo Anthony ain't sick, okay? I mean, I don't think he's sick. But there's something going on there. We'll figure that out coming up later on in the show. It's SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so I got to get to this Nick Saban story coming up, because Saban is doing Saban-y things. It's driving me nuts. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts on Black Friday and be one of the first 25 customers to make a purchase. You'll receive a free unlimited edition O'Reilly Auto Parts hat. Hey, plus check out the 5-day sale from November 23rd to November 27th. Mark your calendars now. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. All right, Nick Saban was asked yesterday about Tua Tagovailoa playing against the Citadel. Now, Tagovailoa is dealing with a knee injury, and, you know, it's not hampered him so much that he can't play. But, you know, hey, listen, it might be good to rest up your starting quarterback for the game against Auburn coming up, and well as Georgia. Don't necessarily need him against the Citadel. So he was asked if he considered sitting Tagovailoa for the game to allow him to rest the knee. Now, remember, this is a good question, right? It's your quarterback is injured. You have a game against the Citadel. Would you consider sitting him for this game? And Saban, because he doesn't want to act like he looks ahead to games and every game's important and every team can beat you if you're not careful, answered with the following, quote, no, why would we do that? I mean, to say this was not an important game or he doesn't need to play, I think we need to do a better job of the people playing around him, doing what they're supposed to do so he doesn't get hit. And he needs to do a better job of stepping up in the pocket and getting rid of the ball, which he's had several opportunities to do. Some of these hits could be avoided by better execution, and I think that's what we're going to focus on. Not trying to take a guy out of the game so he can't improve or do what he needs to do to get better. Okay, stop. Stop with this nonsense. He's not telling you, he's not asking you whether you think Tua should sit just so he can have a nice cold glass of lemonade while he chills out and doesn't have to do any work against the Citadel. How about not playing him so his injury gets better and you use him in games against Auburn and Georgia and the playoff that do matter? Granted, he'll have a month before the playoff, but nevertheless, if you lose Tua Tagovailoa against Auburn, let's say, all of a sudden that game against Georgia becomes pretty interesting with Jalen Hurts at the quarterback because he's dealing with an injury too. And if you can't have him, then it leaves Mac Jones getting there, and that makes the game more interesting too. I don't think this is insane to ask that kind of question. The Citadel. Man, we are praying for 3 points, aren't we, Ron? 3 points. That's all we need from the Citadel.
Three.
Just kick a field goal. 65 yards, 70 yards. Just
80-yard field goal.
That's all we care about.
80-yard field goal, and you guys are better than LSU and Mississippi State combined.
Combined. they can brag about this. Oh, Saban. Stop. I love when coaches do this. Nick, hey, what's his face? Go. Lou Holtz was famous for this.
I got a thought for you. Does Nathan Peterman have any eligibility left?
I think he used it up at Pitt.
Ah,
in Tennessee.
Oh, well.
He played for Tennessee for a little brief period of time.
That's what hurt him.
I know. I forget who was the coach at the time. He was, I don't know, one of the post Phil Fulmer coaches that came through Tennessee and lasted a few years. Maybe Lane Kiffin, maybe Derek Dooley. I don't know. I think it was Derek. Yeah, it was Derek Dooley. It was his first year. God. Poor Nathan Peterman. God love him. Oh, Alabama. You wouldn't be Alabama if you didn't have Saban kicking, you know, running the helm. Man, I can't believe there was a time where Alabama wasn't good.
It just sounds so snarky. That's the only word, right? I can think about.
This whole persona stinks. Listen, I get it. You don't want to disrespect the Citadel. I get it. But you know what? You're paying the money.
The Citadel knows what they're up against. I think the Citadel would appreciate it. Like, okay, you know what? We get that, you know, you look at us that way. We know we're not that team. Yes, go ahead, sit your quarterback.
Here's the deal. The Citadel play out of the SoCon, okay, out of the
what?
FCS. The SoCon, the Southern Conference. Yeah, the Southern Conference. In the Southern Conference, which has teams, let me just list the teams in the Southern Conference for you, okay? And again, this is FCS. East Tennessee State.
Juggernaut.
Wofford, Mercer, Samford, Furman. Outside of East Tennessee State, which apparently is in East Tennessee, do many people even know where some of these schools are located?
Nope.
All right?
Now, Wofford, I will say this.
Furman are in South Carolina. Mercer's in Georgia.
I have heard of a lot of these schools based on the fact that they're usually the number 16 seeds.
Yes,
in NCAA
yes,
tournament.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's
now, Chattanooga's in the SoCon, and I've used Chattanooga as that school. Chattanooga is always the team I use when I talk about these, like, scheduling cupcakes. I don't know. No offense to Chattanooga. I love the city. It's a beautiful city, and it's got a great aquarium, and it's got a choo-choo that's great. But it doesn't it's always the team I use. When I'm always, like, on a rant about college football, and I'm like, and then you go ahead and schedule Chattanooga. And then it's like, poor Chattanooga's like, what did we do? Why are you throwing us in the mix of bad teams that get scheduled for cupcake games?
Tony D just threw us under the bus
I know,
again.
Right?
Guess who's not getting a call from
time.
Us?
I know, and I use them all the time. This is, I mean, I should, the mock should give me like a shirt. Like they should send me a piece of Chattanooga gear because I promote them in such a different way than any other host in the country. I am always using them and I've put them in positions where they've been scheduled for teams that they would never play, like USC and Texas and Oregon and places like, I just always use Chattanooga as my go-to
school.
And
they should feel
that.
Good because before, right. You know, before that game a few years ago, it used to be Appalachian State you always referred to.
No, right, exactly.
Then they
went
ahead and beat Michigan. It's like, oh, well, you can't use them anymore. Chattanooga, you're up to bat.
Exactly. So now it's Chattanooga that I use. Chattanooga is the team that I go down that rabbit hole with. And so now the Citadel, so here's the deal. Citadel, they've lost to Towson. Like, I'm looking it up. They lost to Chattanooga. They lost to Wofford. They lost to East Tennessee State. Even in their own FCS division, they're terrible. They're 4-5, right? So they know who they are, right? They don't need Nick Saban on a national, you know, press conference to start extolling their virtues. They don't need Nick Saban to go, hey, listen, we need every guy we possibly can. I mean, this game is as big of a game as we've ever had on our schedule. They don't need the baloney that's coming out of his mouth. The Citadel's like, look, okay, just give us a check. Okay, that's all. Just make sure just pay us at the end of the game. We'll come, we'll show up, we'll leave, and just make sure the check cashes. That's all we ask. Okay, you don't have to pretend we're awesome. You don't have to pretend we're going to give you a good battle. We don't have to pretend that you have to start everybody in order to beat us. Just don't give us that. Just make sure the check clears when we take it to the bank. Okay, that's all we ask. And that's it.
Yeah, listen, I mean, we're awesome at betting lines now.
Yeah, we are pros at that. Yeah.
The Citadel at Alabama. Do you want to know what the line is?
Is it off the board?
Off the board.
Yes. It's the famous off the board line.
Yeah.
You know why it's off the board, Ron? Because there's not enough number that they can put down on the sheet.
All right,
real quick.
Is this just an SEC week playing against crappy teams?
Yeah, it is. Everybody's got a piece of this.
Yeah, because even your school, you know who your school is playing against this week?
Chattanooga.
Do you know what the line is for that game?
Please tell me there's a line for that game.
Off the board.
Is it off the board, really? South Carolina, that coughed up three touchdowns late in the second half against Florida, can't even get a decent line against Chattanooga. They have to go off the board. They think they're going to rout the Mocs? Come on.
I mean, Middle Tennessee State at Kentucky, that's -14.
Yeah.
Then you have Idaho. Idaho at Florida's off the board.
Yeah, this is great.
UAB is great. At Texas A&M off the board.
I can see Will Muschamp's press conference now at South Carolina. Hey, Will, just off note. Can you give us your thoughts on Stan Lee and his passing? Was he a defensive back? No, he was created Spider-Man. Spider who?
Oh, you're talking about the guy who played for the Cowboys.
You're talking about the guy that played, he played for the Cowboys back in the 70s. No, Spider-Man. He's the Peter Parker web slinger. I don't know what you're talking about. What are you talking about? Spider-Man? Spider-Man? Is he a man? Is he a spider? What is he? I don't know. I'm getting ready for Chattanooga. What are you talking about? Spider-Man. If that actually shows up this week, I will drop dead. I will collapse.
So he was a man? Was it a manly spider?
I'm not getting what you're referencing, this Spider-Man. You can't be a spider and a man. You're either a man or a spider. You can't be both. What are you talking about? You know what, Will? How about this? Never mind. And why don't you break down Nick Tiano and his ability to throw on third downs in the Mox offense? You know, that's really why we're all here. Good. Because here's my 14-point plan on beating Chattanooga this weekend. Sorry, Chattanooga. I love you. Believe me, I love you. Great. You got a great train. Great city. Chattanooga.
If you don't know what to get your significant other for that special occasion, then head over to giftingnap.com. The team at Gifting Map has curated an amazing collection of great gifts for that special guy or girl in your life. Visit giftingnap.com today. Now, back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, still waiting on that big payout? You wouldn't have to if you joined BetDSI. Whether it's basketball, football, hockey, you name it, your favorite teams are there. Get off the sideline and bet with the best. Play big, win big, and get paid anytime with BetDSI. When you sign up for BetDSI.com using our code, you'll get an extra you'll get 125% bonus, an extra 25%. So log on to BetDSI.com and use our code WIN125. That's WIN125. That's BETDSI.com. Use that code WIN125. All right, I want to get into the Carmelo Anthony situation in Houston because, man, that was quick. I didn't think the Rockets were going to jettison this guy this quickly. All the reports are that he will. It hasn't been official yet, but this is 10 games in. This is 10, 12 games in to the season, and Anthony's already proven that, this is not really going to work out with the Rockets. My only question, and I've got a number of them here, is what was the high expectation of Carmelo Anthony? We knew he wasn't going to formulate a big three. We knew that, right? It wasn't going to be James Harden, Chris Paul, Carmelo Anthony. We knew that. But as I've been saying all this whole time, if you can get a Carmelo Anthony that just does his job, knows his role, and plays to that role, he should be a good addition. Not a great addition, but a good addition. So what went wrong? Joel Blank joins us. He's the host of Usual Suspects on 97.5 in Houston, and he helps us break down what exactly went wrong with Carmelo Anthony and the Rockets. How are you, Joel?
Good, sir. How are you?
Good. All right, so right off the bat, let's go back to when they were courting Anthony and trying to bring him to Houston. Again, minimum. People kind of knew he wasn't going to produce a big three with Harden and Paul, but what were the expectations? What did they really want from Carmelo Anthony when they brought him aboard?
Well, I think that's where it all started to go wrong from the get-go. I mean, they wanted a guy that could replace Ryan Anderson's shoes in the rotation. They wanted a guy that could still shoot the three, that could be a complementary player to Paul and Harden, that could kind of give you some low post scoring when you needed it as well, because they're limited in their bigs. But they really wanted a guy that, from a chemistry standpoint, is great friends with both Paul and Harden. And those were the two guys pushing for him the most. I mean, when you look at the pursuit of Carmelo Anthony, it all comes down to those two players and Daryl Morey. Daryl Morey looked at Carmelo Anthony as an asset that he started to pursue 7 years ago. And I tell people on the air, it's like he wanted Apple when Apple first came out, but he didn't get it. But he was so in hot pursuit of it that he was so adamant he'd get it. By the time he got it, the return on his investment was never going to be what it was 7 years ago, because Carmelo's a shell of where he was back then. And that's what I think started the downward slide. Although I will be clear, I don't think Carmelo Anthony is the key to why the Rockets are struggling right now.
Yeah, that's kind of what I want to get to. So how much, watching them night in and night out, how much is his play, or lack of it, contributing to what's going on with the Rockets and their inability to score?
You know, it's part of it. But you look at the equation from the get-go, and Paul got the suspension after getting into it with Rondo. Harden came in a little overweight and then tweaked a hamstring and missed several games. They've had issues with injuries and guys being out of the lineup. But overall, what happened was it's the classic square peg round hole syndrome. Everybody here didn't want to have Trevor Ariza and Luka Mbamute come back because they felt like in Ariza's case, he got too much money and he didn't make a three in game seven against the Warriors when none of the guys on the team made a three. And Mbamute was hurt throughout the playoffs and they didn't think that they needed him. That's fine and dandy if you want to let them walk, but the guys you replace them with have to have similar skill sets and be younger, more athletic versions of those two guys so they can fit Mike D'Antoni's system. Instead, they went out and got a handful of guys that had 25-letter alphabets with no J in it. They couldn't shoot from anywhere, and their defense was suspect, too. So you're taking guys that don't fit the D'Antoni system and trying to force-feed them into playing with guys that have played it and played it efficiently for the last couple of years, and that's where a lot of the setbacks begin. Then with a guy like Eric Gordon, that's where Carmelo Anthony really affected the team because Eric Gordon was used to playing with Paul and Harden, and when they created double teams, they kicked it out. Gordon got wide-open threes, and he knocked them down with consistency. Now he's being asked to be on the second team and be the primary ball handler, get Carmelo the ball first and foremost. And then when he doesn't get his shots, he feels like, my contract's coming up. I got to get some points. He takes contested shots, tougher shots, doesn't make as many, and his numbers look really, really bad across the board. But a lot of it's because he's been trying to adjust on the fly to make Anthony look good. So the team's in disarray for start to finish because of the fact that it starts with you brought in the wrong kind of players for Mike D'Antoni's system.
So is this one of those situations where if the Rockets were to sit down with Carmelo Anthony, could they legitimately say, it's not you, it's us? Like, we really didn't think about this the way we wanted it, and you're not doing anything wrong particularly. I mean, 1-for-11 against the Thunder, they all have bad nights, but you're not anything more than what we wanted. We just didn't figure this out right.
I think that's the easiest way to soft spin it, you know, to spin it, sell it, and be able to walk away from it. I think when you look at it, and you look at Carmelo did not shoot the ball well while he was here. And the thing that I had the biggest issue with is if Carmelo truly wanted to do all the things he said he wanted to do, and if you take his quotes from Oklahoma City, you can put them right into the Rockets quotes this year, and they're almost identical. I want to win. I want to be a part of a winning team. I'm just here to help. But then when you follow the team, you realize the first guy everybody interviews every night is Carmelo. And it's all about mentally I'm having a tough time getting my arms around this. And it's going to take some time, and I feel like I should still be starting. And after games, you weren't hearing from Paul and Harden. You were hearing from Carmelo. And it's like, well, you know, what role do you really want to play on this team? And then because of injuries, he started a game or two. That only put fuel to the fire of his camp saying he still should be starting. That caused a lot of the issues that you're seeing with the Rockets as well. So the easy way to walk away from it is saying, look, he's been a true soldier. Daryl Morey had a press conference before the game the other night, and he never does that. But he basically did that just to try and dispel the rumors and say, Carmelo's been great. He's been, you know, nothing but an exemplary guy on this team. That's just to basically say, hey, look, we're going to part ways. If there's a team out there that wants him, I'll still try and trade him, and maybe that helps give him some trade value. But overall, the end of the road is very near, and it's probably going to be where they just set him free and let him go and just try and move on because they can still salvage this season if they start righting the ship right now.
It's a weird thing because I covered Anthony when I was in Denver for pretty much since he got there till when he left, and I kept saying over and over again, it's not the November, December Anthony you worry about. It's the March and the April Anthony that you worry about. I'm actually a little surprised. Are you guys surprised that kind of discontent happens so quickly, given some of the lessons he may have been forced to learn in Oklahoma City?
Yeah, I am. I am to a degree, and I thought they'd give it a little bit more time to sort itself out simply because of all the setbacks they had with injury, suspension, and new guys on the team trying to get to know one another. Overall, and you were in Denver, you can tell me differently, but, you know, the other thing that we're not talking about here, why the Rockets are struggling, is Jeff Bezdelic left the team.
Yeah.
Jeff Bezdelic was their defensive coordinator. He's a reason why he took a rock-bottom defensive team and brought him into the top six in team defense in the league, top three in rebounding, and did so much for this team. But Bezdelic was Carmelo's first coach in the NBA, and after a first season of success, The second season, it went wrong. Bezdelic was fired really short time frame into that second season. And a lot of people blame Carmelo for getting Bezdelic fired. So I think that that had something to do with it. Bezdelic went to the Bahamas with the whole team for a team bonding thing and then came back, and he decided he wasn't going to coach the team this year with D'Antoni. And that sent up red flags with me right away that said, hey, if he was really just burnt out and wanting to retire, he'd have done that in June.
But he
waited to see if he got the same Carmelo, that was the biggest issue why he said, you know what, I'm not doing this again. I'm not getting paid enough, and I'm not going to go through this whole thing again. I know how this story ends. So I think that was a huge issue in dealing with Anthony. The other thing with Anthony, you've covered him. You know he's always been the man, from Syracuse to Denver to the Knicks.
Yep.
So now when he comes back into a situation like OKC or Houston, he can say all the right things, but his ego and his mentality says, I'm still the man. I still need the ball. I still got to be me. And that doesn't fit with the way his skill set is right now.
Yeah, exactly. Joel Blank joining us, host of The Usual Suspects, 97.5 in Houston, on the Carmelo Anthony situation with the Rockets. You bring up this, so they'll jettison Carmelo, and then they'll move along as the season progresses. How different is this Rockets team going to look for those of us who loved watching them last year and everything that they were? Can we get a little bit of that back, or is that gone?
Well, you saw a glimpse of it the other night when they blew Indiana out because of the fact that they started making their threes. Guys knew where they were supposed to be. And role players that were used to playing minutes got those minutes again. It is possible, but those square pegs have to be replaced with round pegs that fit the system better. They wanted Jimmy Butler. If you thought Daryl Morey thought that this team was a championship caliber team the way it sits, why was he in such hot pursuit of Jimmy Butler? Why was he willing to give up four first-round picks and continue the pursuit to try and add things to the pot to try and get Butler to Houston? Because he knew this roster that he tweaked, that probably didn't need to be tweaked from a 65-win team a year ago, needed help. Now Butler's gone on to Philadelphia, so now what do? Now you try and improve the role players, and you try and put the complementary players have to be better. Kyle Korver's out there, and he's sitting there in Cleveland, and he's willowing away, but he's got playoff experience. He can shoot the three. He's got good size. He can help. A guy like Jeff Green that was on that Oklahoma City team a year ago is wasting away in Washington. When he can shoot the three, he can play the Ariza role. He can defend. He can make an occasional three. He can get up and down the floor. There are role players that are out there, but the challenge now is even greater on Daryl Morey, and it's all on his shoulders because he created this mess. Now he has to try and undo what he did and salvage this season for this team, because this city, this community, these Rockets fans, they believe after last year they were a hamstring away from winning it all. Now they're watching a team that should not be this bad this early based on what they did last year. And they want answers, they want results, and they don't want to throw away this season.
Yeah, no kidding. It's one thing to have a slow start. You see teams do that. But it's another thing when you're looking at a different product than when you were, as you said, a hamstring away from probably winning it all. That's got to be tough for the fan base to take.
Oh, they're struggling. Believe me. And, you know, and having a daily talk show in Houston, you realize it, because I always call them the Kool-Aid drinking Red Nation fan, because when they drink that red Kool-Aid, they believe that this team is invincible and you shouldn't say anything bad about them. But for those of us like you and me that have covered the league forever, and I covered this Rockets team for 23 years from the inside, from a team perspective, and I know how much they want to win, and I know how much they're focused on it. But when they come out of the gates this slow with these players that no one knows playing the brand of basketball that they're playing, when the fans got so accustomed to them blowing the doors off of everybody and playing fast, you know, they're 24th in the league in pace this year when they were the second highest scoring team to Golden State last year in the league. That's just hard for anybody to take. But for this fan base, it has been a struggle. And now that they finally accepted the fact that changes have to be made, this didn't work out, and that they better get some things done between now and the trade deadline, if not sooner, there's a bit of a panic on Rockets fans' faces, because they see down the road, hey, even without Steph Curry right now, the Warriors, even though they lost last night, playing great basketball, getting great production, they haven't taken a step back. They added an all-star center, and they don't care when he comes back as long as he's ready for the playoffs. That's a whole lot different than the bowl of cereal that they're trying to digest here in Houston.
Joel, great stuff. Really appreciate your time. Thanks for the insight, and I hope to catch up with you soon, my friend. Thank you so much.
You got it, my man. Anytime.
You got it. Joel Blank, again, host 97.5, The Usual Suspects, covers the Rockets, and covers the Rockets very, very well in this Carmelo Anthony thing. And he, You know, I think a lot of things that he said are right on the money. I mean, in terms of Buzz Delic and also Mike D'Antoni. I mean, these are two coaches that didn't that don't have a good relationship with Carmelo. They can say they buried the hatchet, moved on. You know, the adult in them kind of progresses. But there's a lot of problems there. I mean, he's right. Buzz Delic was the coach of the Nuggets. They drafted Melo, and then before you know it, Buzz Delic's out of there. Now Mike D'Antoni, and you all know what happened with the Knicks. They just were oil and water. They didn't get along either. So this is not surprising. It's just, to me, I thought Melo would have realized, hey, I better cool it if I really want to be on a team. They're not going to put up with any of this ego shenanigans. But when you have an ego like that, it just overwhelms everything. And his inability to do kind of the things that they want him to do, and seeing that the Rockets are a completely different team when he's in and what they need him to do, it's not that surprising that they're going to jettison Melo out of this whole thing. All right, 800-777-2907. It's Tony D, Ron Culver, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Jeff Buzz Delic, we were talking about him, the assistant coach of the Rockets. He actually completed the Colorado basketball trifecta. He was the head coach of the Nuggets. Then he was the head coach of the Air Force Falcons down in Colorado Springs before he left that job in a huff and went on to become the head coach of the Colorado Buffaloes. So he was in Colorado for a while. He had like a...
So Colorado State hasn't called him yet?
No, he hasn't called him yet, yeah. Then he went to Wake Forest. He was the head coach at Wake Forest for a while. And then he left there and went back to the league. So, yeah, Jeff Buzz Delic. I like him a lot. He's a very, very smart basketball guy. He's one of those coaches that when he starts talking, because when I covered him when he was at Air Force too, and he would have these coaches shows at these restaurants, and then like during breaks you'd kind of chat with them about basketball. He would bring up something and he would talk, and then you realized like midway through the conversation that you can't be in the conversation because you don't have the required intelligence level to deal with what he was talking about when it came to basketball. And I just nod my head. I'm like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, well, that sounds reasonable. He was on like another level of basketball. Like it was crazy, but he's really, really was really smart. He was, you know what he was when he first got there? Cause I was a sports director in Colorado. And I remember the day he got hired, and there was no place online where I could get the correct pronunciation of his last name. Cause you know how you've seen it, right? It's got a bunch of, it's hardly got any vowels in it.
That's like Krzyzewski.
Yeah. It's like Krzyzewski.
Krzyzewski. That makes no sense for it to sound, start with like a SH sound.
Yeah, so like I arrived in Denver, and like one of the first stories I'm doing in the morning is the Nuggets team is being led by this coach in the summer league in July of, I think, 2002, and I can't pronounce the coach's name. Like I don't even know what the coach's name is. You know, sounds like, and I'm trying to go online to try to find anything, any video or anything at all that gives me how to pronounce this guy's last name, and I couldn't do it. And finally, you know, it started coming, and I was like, okay, God. But that's always a panic when you see all of those numbered letters and you're like, I can't figure out how to pronounce this. So, yeah, Jeff Buzz Delic, very, very smart basketball mind. Hope the Rockets turn it around.